I see a generation rising up to take their place. Next slide. With selfless faith. Keep going. I see a near revival stirring as we pray, as we seek. Okay? You guys, this church, God has something for us. And it's not about us. It is not about us. It is about something that God wants to do through this body, in this community, in this world. It's a revival that is taking place, not because we are so gifted, because we are so talented, because we're 45 years old and we have Baptist in our theology, but because we are obedient to the living God. The Holy Spirit of the living God is living and alive in us. That is what God is doing. And I just came back from spending the last 3 days with our elders. And we were hidden in a house somewhere up in the hills there. And I don't even know where. Yes, I do know where it was. And this group of men, daily, hourly, we were on our knees just humbling ourselves, saying, God, what do you have for Sunrise? God, would you work in this body? Would you just help us to be obedient. Help us to be sensitive to your Spirit. And we prayed for you. We prayed for what God's doing. And I believe it. I believe a revival is coming upon this place, but not because we sit in these comfortable chairs, but because we go out, because we are obedient and we walk out of this room sent to do God's word, to do God's work. In this week and next week, we're talking about just this simple one word, sent. God is sending every single one of us out. He is sending every single one of us out. He's not sending us in. We're here. We're growing, we're learning, we're coming closer to Christ, we're coming closer to each other. But he's saying, I want you to go. I want you to go out there. And there's a whole group of people that go out there every day, almost all year round, and they don't even realize how sent they are. And that's why we're focusing in on teachers this morning. I mean, how many of us have not had a teacher in our lives, right? They're all around us. And we know when we have a good one and we know when we have a not so good one, right? I've had a few of those. I had a teacher in college, not joking. This was at a Christian college and we were a little bit of a rambunctious group of us sophomores. And this teacher just didn't have the oomph to handle us. And at one point the guy just breaks down in tears. Because we're just having a little too much fun. And he's just like, we're just not even going to pray anymore. Like, oh my goodness, come on. Anyway, that's one teacher I had. I had another teacher in high school. Mr. Queering, Richard Queering. Strange name, but well, you know, whatever. And Richard Queering was, he taught, what did he teach? History and I don't know, some classes in that world, and I didn't learn much. But geography, social studies, that kind of thing. Yeah, there we go. And we're in the midst of a social studies class and a series, a part of it that is on world religions. And I'll never forget when Mr. Queering, you know, he spent about, you know, 5 minutes on this world religion, and then he kind of moved on to Hinduism, and then he kind of moved on to this, and then he gets to Christianity. He's like, so anyone tell me what a Christian is? And I remember this one girl, oh, it's somebody that just believes. I'm like, what? What do you believe in? And somebody else, well, it's a person that loves Jesus. Oh, that's good. And then someone else. And Mr. Queering at Highland High School in Bakersfield, public high school, and says, well, a Christian is someone
who believes that Jesus Christ was more than a man, but was God. And that God sent Jesus to the earth to live on the earth and to die, to live a perfect life on the earth and to die. And that when he died, that the Christian believes that that death that Jesus died covers their sins, forgives their sins. And then Jesus raised again, and because of that, the Christian believes that because Jesus raised again, they will raise again and live with him in heaven in eternity. That's what a Christian believes. Right? Like, it was really cool when that guy eventually came to Christ. No. He was a believer and a Democrat. I'm sorry. I really don't know who I'm going to offend by that, but I really have no clue who's going to be offended by that. But I'm sure someone will. Write it on the card in front of you. We have notes. But the teacher can have a great effect. The teacher can have a not so great effect. Why don't you take a second? This is like interactive. I'm going to give you 1 minute, okay? You got 30 seconds to turn to the person next to you, or you can just talk to yourself. And just say, this was my favorite teacher because, and this was my least favorite teacher because. All right, 1, 2, 3, go. Be careful if that person is in the room. All right, that's good. But I still look back, and I still look back at the ones that just missed the mark, but the ones that impacted me I'll never forget. And I think the difference, especially in a teacher that loves Jesus and follows Jesus with their whole life, is that it just comes out. Their faith comes out of them. And I want to take us to the book of Acts, chapter 18 today, as we head into our commissioning of teachers this morning. And to set up the context, Paul is heading back to Corinth, and it is in Corinth. He's meeting with people, and he comes across two people, Aquila and Priscilla. They're married to each other, and he's going to go spend some time with them. So Acts chapter 18, and we're going to go at verse 1. It says, after this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth, and there he met a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had ordered all the Jews to leave Rome. And, you know, so here we have this couple, these two Jews that have left Rome because of some persecution that's breaking out. And it says, Paul went to see them, and because he was a tent maker, as they were, he stayed and worked with them. And every Sabbath he reasoned in the synagogue, trying to persuade Jews and Greeks. And so it says, because he was a tent maker, and this is a concept that a lot of us understand. We understand what a tent maker is. If you've been around the church for a while, you've heard this. There's a ministry out there called Tent Makers. Makes sense. They actually have pretty good theology. And this is how they describe a tent maker. There are four things that they put up here. They say, a tent maker is someone who lives a life on mission in community as a disciple of Jesus. They live a life on mission. So a tent maker, in case I just jumped ahead a little too far, Paul actually worked with his hands. He did something. He was not just walking around as a professional pastor. He was a guy that worked during the time when people worked in this culture, but also was a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so he's on mission. His work is part of his mission. He's living in community, the disciple of Jesus. They lead while bringing out the best in others. They pursue lifelong learning, and they see work and ministry as one. Oh, I like that. They see work and ministry as one. You don't separate the two. And that's something that some of us, we treat our Christian life like a desktop or a desk, okay? We have in this drawer, we have our, you know, if the whole desk is our life, in this drawer, we have our job. In this drawer over here, we have our family. And in this drawer over here, we might have sports and things that we're into, hobbies, that kind of thing. And maybe in the center drawer, because we're really holy, that's where Jesus hangs out, right? And instead, we should be looking at our life as a follower of Christ as the entire desk, and all of these things play into the debt. You know, all of these things are in the context of our faith in Jesus Christ. Whether we're at school, whether we're at church, whether we're at sports, whether we're just sitting at home messing around on the computer, it's all in the context of a relationship with Jesus Christ. The people, we're going to interview a couple of people this morning. You up for some new faces on the platform? I want you to meet a few people here. And these are people that I believe have figured this out. That they are living out the life of being a teacher and being a follower of Christ. And they see their lives as a teacher through that lens of being a follower of Christ. So would you please welcome Trinity Wooten. And Trinity's going to be coming out here. And come on out, Luke Mollison and Aubrey Siebert. Here, come on down. This is we have a name for this thing. What do we call it? Oh, this is, you want to know the hip name for when we lower the stage down one step? It's called the preaching pocket. Welcome to the preaching pocket. That was Nolan. So if you don't like it, blame it on the guy in Philly that introduced us to that. Okay, a couple questions for y'all. Sorry. Every once in a while I get distracted, and that's not good. So I've given them three questions, and we're each going to answer this. But the first one is this. So let me introduce Trinity first. Trinity is our preschool director here at Sunrise. She is amazing. Okay, one of my favorite quotes of Trinity's, and I'll just say this because you won't. She will say something to the effect of, "Don't mistake my sweetness." No, say it.
Kindness.
Kindness for
weakness.
Weakness. Oh, that's a good one. I got to pull that one out, except for people who are like, I'd be like, no, don't mistake my meanness for, you know. Trinity, I know you have a story for us, and because Kim and I were talking about this earlier. Tell us a story, a simple story about how you've seen God use you in the classroom.
Okay. So at the preschool, we had a young family come in with their son who was really fearful and timid. And as he began learning about the love of God, we got to watch him become more confident and content. And one day, his mom came into the classroom, and she had tears in her eyes, and she was smiling, and she said that she couldn't find her son in his normal spot the night before, that she looked all around, and she quickly became frantic because he was afraid to be by himself. And to her surprise, she found him in his room. And she came up and she said, "What are you doing?" And he He said, "Mom, I'm not afraid anymore because Miss Trinity told me that God's always with me."
Yeah. Oh. Sunrise Community Church Preschool. Your grandkids, you know, we were enrolling right now. And this is what they get. Okay, that was an advertisement. Shameless plug. What are the spiritual challenges you face as a preschool teacher and administrator?
So since we're a Christian preschool, we get to work with a variety of different people in the community. And we have the privilege of actually being able to talk to them about God. But it can be challenging to find the right words and ways to be sensitive to the needs of everyone, especially when people are hurting. We strive to provide hope and encouragement to these children and families so that they might see even just a glimpse of the love that God has for them.
Yeah, and this is really cool. I love this part about being a Christian preschool that has a lot of people that have just come to our preschool because they were driving down Greenback and saw the sign, or they Googled it. And so a lot of people that don't know Jesus, and that's a huge challenge as we teach from a Christian worldview and want to show the light to them. So I love the spot you are in. It's a real unique spot. Third question, very simple one. How can we pray for you?
Please pray that God will use us to be a light to these children and their families, and that they would come to know their true identities as those beloved by Christ.
All right, let's pray for Trinity right now. All right, Lord, we thank you for Trinity. And I thank you that you have brought her to Sunrise to be an amazing part of our team. Lord, thank you for even just the turnaround that we've seen in the preschool in the last 4 years. And how Trinity leads that boldly and yet with grace and gentleness. Would you give her the strength to continue on? And Lord, we pray that the kids that come through would see Jesus Christ and know him as their Savior. And I pray, Lord, that the parents would as well in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right. Next to Trinity is my friend Luke Mollison. Got to give Luke a mic. There we go. All right, Luke, same kind of thing. Tell us a story where you've seen God use you in your context of teaching. First off, you teach at Pasture Middle School.
Yes.
Junior high teacher, what do you teach?
I teach life science to seventh graders and Spanish to eighth graders.
A Christian teaching science in
yes.
a public school.
Yes, indeed.
All right. Well, we'll unpack that here. Okay. So tell us the story how you've seen God use you in the midst of your teaching.
Over the years, a lot of Sunrise kids have gone to my school, and they happen to be in my class. And so that's just been really just great to get those connections. The kids, they see me at church, they see me at school, and it's just been really nice to develop those relationships and friendships. It's been a real blessing. So that would probably be one of the biggest ones. And then just also connecting with them, maybe outside of class or at lunch or after school, they'll ask questions. And I just really enjoy being able to talk about the Lord with them on their time after school and stuff. So it's been really nice.
Okay. What have been some of the challenges?
This is middle school, so...
Need we say any more, right?
We have lots of challenges at middle school, but I would say it's public school. It's an environment where there are a lot of kids who are bitter and broken, and maybe because they have bad relationships at home, or they've got all these drama with the boyfriend-girlfriend relationships, and they're just cranky when they come to class. They don't treat each other well, and it's hard to teach kids like that when they're thinking about something else and they're upset or angry or whatever, and it's also hard for me to love them when they're being turkeys, so. So I pray almost every day, and when I remember, I pray, Lord, give me love for them so that I can have patience and wisdom and just try to treat them as much as closely as I can like my own kids.
Yeah. And how can we pray for you? I think we heard some prayer requests right in there, too.
Yeah, that would add wisdom and love for them. But also, I want to be bold. I don't want to be quiet and subdued. You know, I teach science, and so there are a lot of controversial stuff in science these days. You know, a lot of people think that, you're a Christian and you're a science. How can that be? Doesn't science, like, disagree with the Bible? And no, it doesn't, not even a little bit. But that's kind of the perception. And so I want to be more outspoken with truth.
Yeah. All right. Let's pray for Luke. Father, thank you for bringing Luke and Kathy to Sunrise and just the amazing part of this body that they are. Thank you for placing Luke on the front lines at Pasture. Father, please continue to grant him boldness to speak truth, to do it in a shrewd way. And Father, would you just give him a deep love and compassion for his students, no matter what they do, and no matter how much they are turkeys along the way, as middle schoolers are so good at. Father, would you just give him a deep heart and a deep love for them, and may they see you and wonder and ask, and would you empower Luke to speak your truth in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Oh. Thanks, buddy.
Aubrey Siebert. Hi, Aubrey. I'll come back down here.
Hello.
So, Aubrey Siebert, if you know anything about Aubrey, she has a husband who also happens to work here at Sunrise. We'll deal with him later. But Aubrey, you are on the front lines in the college, on the university campus.
Yes.
Tell us about that. Where are you right now?
Yeah, so mainly I teach at Sac State University. This semester I teach three classes there. I teach within their dance and theater department, and I teach their dance history and dance cultures courses.
Did you guys have a competition
last night? We have one coming up.
Like tonight?
Yes, we have a performance tonight, and then we're performing in 2 weeks
at
the National. All right,
and it kind of conflicts with what we're doing here tonight, so I'm not going to advertise it.
No, it's horrible. Don't come see us.
But they're going to be somewhere later tonight doing some cool dancing. Okay, so here you are on the college campus, professor on the college campus. Tell us a story about how you've seen God use you
It is interesting. I talk to God a lot, like how can I be used on the college campus and just kind of share who you are in my teaching. And it is hard sometimes because my husband is a pastor. So he's out there like speaking the word of God, literally baptizing children. And I'm over here and I'm just like, is what I'm doing enough? And God just kept telling me, you know what, you need to love them and you need to show them community because some students just aren't seeing that. And so you start to question, am I doing that? Am I completing that? And it's not about me finding answers, like, everyone, do you feel loved in my classroom? Okay, thanks. But it really was, I taught for 4 years at a college. And right before we moved up here, my students all put together a little scrapbook with letters from each of them. And one student wrote in there, she said, the week I started your class, and she literally took every class that I taught all the 4 years I was there. The week I started your class, I was actually thinking of committing suicide. She said my past was very difficult, and it still was the whole time I had known her. But this student, I saw her grow as a dancer and as a person, and she said, the reason I decided not to is because I saw love in your class the way I haven't before. And so through that, just through loving, just through showing God's love the way God showed me, it was making an impact, and it wasn't me doing it. It was God showing her that she was important. So,
amen. Okay. All right. So along with that, what are some of the challenges you face?
So in the college setting, and I think with most all teachers, it's very busy. There are a lot of things going on, not only in your classroom, but your committees and your shows that you're doing. And there can be a lot of negativity that happens. It's very easy to complain as a teacher. Who knew? So that's something that constantly I'm praying about and combating, because I want to show my fellow faculty that even when things are hard, look at all that we have that are blessings. Look at all we have to be excited about. So that's something that kind of is very easy to go along with and be like, oh yeah, that student is awful and this show is not going well. But instead, I'm trying to really show the light and positivity that God offers.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool. Okay, I'm coming over. And you've had a challenging year. So, I mean, it's, we won't even get into any of that, but, it's been a crazy season. So we're going to pray for you even more. So Lord, thank you for Aubrey. Thank you for bringing, Michael and Aubrey to Sunrise and just the amazing, color and the life that they bring to us. And I pray for Aubrey as she, goes forward in, especially with faculty, especially with staff, as she interacts with them, may they see in her something incredibly different, that they would see the light, that they would see somebody who doesn't complain, but is positive no matter what happens. Would you grant her endurance? And would you give her perception to see the students that she can go even deeper with and share your love with? And thank you for this one that connected with her, who very well may still be on this earth today because you placed Aubrey in her path. Use her in a powerful way in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hey, thank you all so much. And Kim's going to steal your microphone here for a second. We're going to have you come out here in just a little bit later here in the service, where we're going to have our actual dedication of our teachers. But let's give them a hand one more time. Thank you so much. Kim Shaw, what are you doing here?
You told me to come.
Oh, excellent. So right down the street, and on this next slide, we put a little map up here. We have this, here's Sunrise down here at the bottom, and right up there, a few blocks away, in fact, so close that on our facilities department, little walkie-talkies, we're on the same frequency as Trajan, and we hear their needs going on throughout the day. But Kim, tell us about Love Trajan. What got us here? Where are we going?
So you guys know that I think the biggest thing you guys see with Trajan is that we're collecting supplies. Our influence and our participation in Trajan, we hope to have so much more than that there. And we started out at Trajan because, I've been in kids ministry for quite a few years. And over the last few years, God has really just impressed upon me the fact that we need to be involved at our local elementary school and that it needs to be the school closest to the church. So after I got to Sunrise, I started doing a little bit of research and looking around and quickly figured out that Trajan was our closest geographic school and that it was our direct community, our direct neighborhood. And so that became the school that I started praying about and getting interested in. And so our relationship with them basically started when one day in the middle of the week, I went over to their office with a basket of goodies and introduced myself and said, "Hi, I'm Kim." And
literally just walked in the door.
Literally just walked in the door with treats to the office.
Uninvited.
Uninvited. Yeah. And and just said, "I'm Kim. I work at the church around the corner. I brought you some goodies. I'm new. I wanted to meet you and see how we could participate with you." And their initial response was a little bit jaw-dropped, like, "What?" And but immediately got to sit down and talk with their principal, who's an amazing woman, and we just kind of started this conversation, and they invited us in to participate with them. We helped at things like their harvest fair, selling tickets, helping kids, you know, do balloon art or whatever. We did whatever they asked us to do. We did that. We've done things like count laps at the jogathon. Take snacks to teachers for on special days. And then last year, as Derek and I were talking, we started talking about collecting school supplies and how that might fit into stuff we were doing at the church and could we do a little bit more at the school. And went in and talked to the administration and said, "We'd like to do more. Here's what we're thinking. We'd like to have your supply list. We'd like to collect your supplies. And if you'd let us, we'd love to adopt your teachers," which is a big deal, because to give us their list of teachers with our assurance that we're going to do this well and we're going to love your teachers without making them uncomfortable or being involved in the public school in a way the church shouldn't be, that we were going to do that well. And they trusted us with that list, as many of you know who participated. And we had so much fun with them last year doing supplies and teachers. And so this year we collected supplies again, and you guys answered that call. Do we have a picture?
I messed up.
Oh, we didn't get the picture. Oh, so
it's collected. You emailed me the picture.
Hordes of supplies, which was awesome. Okay. And we, the children's ministry team last Monday, we loaded up two mini SUVs completely full in the backs of supplies, took it all over, lined it up on their stage, to put it there so when the teachers came to school the next day for their first meeting, that they would be able to shop the stage for whatever they needed.
How did they respond?
Oh, my goodness. They were so excited. As we were putting stuff out, teachers were walking through doing things, and they're like, what is this? What are you doing? And we told them, and they started squirreling away supplies, and everybody got to shop. And I'm really thankful that more things have trickled in, because if a teacher got there late, you know, I don't know if they got as much as everyone else. So we'll take that stuff over for the late arrivals. And then we spent our morning compiling those little packets that parents go home with on the first day of school. So we got to spend a couple hours with their PTA and those folks.
I love it. So here we are. And this may be something that, I really feel like Love Trajan is just this scratching the surface, the beginning of the impact that Sunrise can have in our community. And here we are. I mean, there were teachers from Trajan when they heard we were even dedicating teachers this morning. They're like, well, we want to be there. And
we hope they came. We invited them. The secretary invited them to come if they were interested in coming today.
But thank you so much, Kim. Thank you for just having the boldness to walk over there and walk in the door and give them a gift and say, here I am.
Yeah.
Right? Isn't that?
It's our pleasure to
serve.
Isn't
that biblical?
Yeah.
Right?
So I would challenge you guys. We are entrusted with their list of teachers again this year, which means you were amazing last year. If you are interested in adopting for a teacher for a year, which means little treats, notes, once a month communication with your teacher to let them know you're thinking of them, email me and we'll put you on that list, because we are going to be doing that again this year.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Kim.
Absolutely.
All right. So there's a challenge to each and every one of us in this. And I don't want us to miss this in just focusing on teachers. I don't want us to miss what God is saying to each and every one of us individually and what God is calling us to individually. And so I start with this one thing. Serving God happens every day and everywhere. Serving God happens every day and everywhere. Serving God doesn't just happen in the church on Sunday morning teaching a Sunday school class. It doesn't just happen on a Wednesday night Bible study or in the choir or, you know, fill in the blank. I ask us, have we limited our ministry, the things that we consider ministry, have we limited those things to those which only happen in a Christian organization, in our church? And we've compartmentalized things so that the church is over here and that's ministry and everything else is over here. So let's not limit ourselves. Let's, even more importantly, let's not limit God. Let's not limit God to working on this campus, that God's Holy Spirit is in us because we are His. Last week we said ambassadors. We are His ambassadors. And so Christ were working through us to speak on His behalf, empowered by His Holy Spirit. Second part of the challenge, Acts 18, is don't be afraid. If we go down to verse 9 of Acts 18, it says, one night the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision, do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent, for I am with you. And no one is going to attack and harm you, because I have many people in this city. So Paul stayed in Corinth for a year and a half, teaching them the word of God. Don't be afraid. God is with you. And you know what? He's also placed other believers. You may feel like you're the only believer around you, and that just might not be true. But you also have a lot of believers here in this room that even if you go off to work every day and are surrounded by the paganist pagans, you got a group of people here that's lifting you up and supporting you and sending you out every day. Don't be afraid. And the final thing is we need to be committed to our teachers. I attended a church years ago, and I was talking to one of the pastors at this church, and this is the same pastor who told me about how they would give their high school seniors graduating Bibles, and how important these Bibles were in sending off their seniors to college. You've got one, Ashton, don't you? Well, that was because of a neat pastor down in Whittier who told me about this. And the same one told me, he said, we started treating our teachers as missionaries. I mean, we're not raising support for them financially, but that doesn't mean they're not missionaries. And so we started sending our teachers out every year. This is something I think we need to do at Sunrise. Because these people are on the front lines, and they are investing in the next generation, not once a week, twice a week. They are investing in the next generation 5 days a week, 8 hours a day, and then some. And some of them are being volunteered to work in sports programs at the schools and so on. And they're investing a ton of their life. They're on the front lines. We should be sending them as missionaries. So teachers, you are on the front lines. And this church would like to commit to you, to praying for you and to sending you in the same way we would do a missionary. And so if you are a vocational teacher, and we'll kind of work on this a little bit because I've had a lot of questions about this. If you're a Sunday school teacher or a coach or something like that, we're going to have another Sunday for you, okay? So you'll get to be special later. But today I want to put it on this focus of our people that are vocational teachers that are going out there every day. They're being paid to do this. I apologize for this mess in my microphone. I need to do a better job putting it on in the morning. And they're going out there every day working with that next generation. And I'm going to throw the administrators in there, even though we always made fun of the administrators back in school. We're going to throw them in there too, because you're on the front lines too, believe me. And then there's another special group that I want to dedicate this morning to. And there are some moms and dads that are staying at home, and you're educating your kids at home. And we believe in you and what you're doing and the investment that you are making into that next generation as a homeschool mom or a homeschool dad. And we believe in what you are doing as well and want to commission you. And so I'm going to invite those of you right now, our educators, our teachers, homeschool parents, would you stand right now? Would you come up front? And we want to recognize you, and then we are going to dedicate you. Hopefully we have more than one of you. Yeah, you and Luke, get it. All right. We will not make you talk on the microphone, okay? But this is going to get active here in a second, okay? You all start stretching out because I'm going to make some of you move. Anyone else? All right, so this is going to be what I call a logistical nightmare. Okay, take a peek, just look at them, and we have more who will be here in second service. Pick one out. Okay, just look, remember their face, and you can pray for them over time. But what I'm going to do now, and I think we have, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, I can count, 10. All right, I want you to split up into the four aisles, okay, we have four aisles. So at least two in each aisle, and two of you can, three in an aisle. And I'd like you all to gather around them and pray for them as God leads you. And we're going to spend just a few minutes doing this right now. So feel free to stand, gather around them, and uh, If they're comfortable with it, you can lay your hands on them. If they're not, you know, if they feel a little weird about it, that's okay. And just go ahead and pray for our teachers. Oh, Lord, we thank you for these people. We thank you for these people that you have called into the mission field, whether they even realize it or not. We thank you for the gifting that you've given them. We pray that you would give them strength and power that only comes through your Holy Spirit. May lives be changed in the schools here in the Sacramento area this year because of the people that are standing right there in the center of these aisles. May their lives be different. May they know that they are being called by you. May they be confident in the role you have placed them in. And may they be joyful because they know they have you empowering them to do your will. In the name of Jesus, amen.